Now, growing up in South Africa, I didn't actually have a particularly happy childhood. And probably the biggest reason for this was my response to Jesus. I knew that God was real, but it didn't really have much impact on my life. I pretty much did my own thing. And this left me feeling guilty when I was doing the wrong thing and robbed me of joy. Can you relate to what I'm saying when I'm saying that? I'm going to go into more detail about my own life later, but for today's talk, I want to give you guys the talk that I would so love to have heard at the time. We're going to be looking at a parable Jesus told. Jesus likes speaking in parables, which are stories which have a hidden meaning or moral which the listener is to extract. So parables are like oranges and not like blackberries. A blackberry you can bite straight into and the juicy goodness is right there. An orange needs to be peeled first before you can get at the good bits. Today we'll be peeling the parable of the sower. This story Jesus told and its application is one of the most important stories in the Bible when it comes to what our personal response to Jesus should be. It raises questions that these guys getting baptized have had to answer and questions that all of us will have to answer as well. I'm going to be reading Matthew 13, verse 1 to 8, which will hopefully come up on the screen behind me. The same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea and got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path. And the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. You might be wondering what a farmer throwing seed on four different types of soil has got to do with you. Through the story, Jesus is giving us insight into our hearts, saying that our hearts can be like these different places that the seed lands. There are two questions we need to answer first, though. Who's doing the sowing and what does the seed represent? It's not said directly in the story who's doing the sowing. But I believe we can assume that sometimes it's God that's sowing the seeds, but also sometimes it's us. And as Christians, we have a mandate to tell other people about this Jesus that we love and that has transformed our lives. One of the ways we do this corporately as a church, though, is we run something called Alpha, which some of the guys mentioned and PJ actually mentioned that I'm involved with. This is a course specifically designed to be a relaxed, informal setting where people who perhaps don't know much about all this God stuff and are looking in from the outside can find out what it's all about. Can you wave at me if you've ever been along to an Alpha evening in any capacity? Just put your hands up. Wow, that is phenomenal. That's phenomenal. So many people's lives have been impacted by it. And it's really fun. You get to meet friends. And in the recession, it's really nice to get a free meal included as well. Our next course starts in February. So if you'd like to come, please sign on. The seed is the message of Jesus. We know this because Jesus later explains the parable saying the seed is the word, which is one of the ways the Bible refers to Jesus. We see this especially in John's gospel. So the seed is the message of Jesus, but what does that mean? So here goes. I'm going to try and summarize the entire message of Jesus in just a few sentences. And to make it interesting, I'm going to do it in Technicolor. Green. God is good. God created an amazing, beautiful world for us to live in. And he loves us so much. Black. Every single one of us, from the first to the last, from the shortest to the tallest, have done wrong things along the way, which have made us dirty in his sight. How can we, dirty as we are, have a relationship with a pure and blameless God? Well, this is how. Red. Jesus came and saved the day. Jesus bled and died on the cross to take the punishment for our sins. And in that way, we can have a relationship with him. White, when we accept this, we are fully accepted into God's kingdom. And we are seen as spotless and pure before God. He washes away all the dirt. Is there anyone out here that's happy about this? A few of you then. So the sower is God, or us. The seed is the message of Jesus. Let's see what Jesus says about the soil. There are four different types. So he's divided up in four types of ways that you can respond to this invitation God offers. Which one are you? Think about it as we go along. Path, rock, thorns, or good soil? We're going to start with a path. Some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. So the message of Jesus is being shared with some people, and it just doesn't seem to sink in. If that's you, then this is what I want to say to you. Don't worry about a thing. Every little thing's going to be okay. And that's lyrics from a Bob Marley song. It's a nice song, and I really like the song. But guys, it isn't true. Even Bob, after his 8-month painful battle with cancer, would have to admit that everything isn't actually always going to be okay. Sorry to be blunt, but every single one of us, like Bob, is going to pass away at some point. And what's going to happen then? If there is an all-seeing, all-knowing God, am I really going to be able to pull the wool over his eyes or con him into letting me into heaven when, to tell the truth, I've not really been living my life in a way which makes him happy? I've had to think really seriously about that question. And I'd persuade everybody here to think seriously about that question as well. And also other questions like, what's the meaning of life? Why am I here? If you aren't sure to the answers of these questions, don't put off thinking about that until later. Later might not come. Take these questions to a Christian friend, or come along to an Alpha course, or come and speak to one of us after the service. The second place the seed falls is the rock. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up. And since they had no depths of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Jesus goes into a lot more detail here. It seems that some people, when they hear the message of Jesus, have an initial eagerness and enthusiasm that sort of gets things going. But the areas in their life that they don't let God in, and those areas prevent the seed from being able to put its root down and prevent them from bearing fruit. If it sounds like I know what I'm talking about in this section, it's because I do. This is how my heart was. Although I would have called myself a Christian 7 years ago, there were certainly areas in my life that I wasn't letting God in. There were many things I liked to do, which I knew didn't please God. So I was living a bit of a double life. On the one side, I had my Christian friends who were really close friends. I used to go away with them for weekends and be a good person when I was hanging out with them. But on the other side, I had my rugby and my rowing buddies, and I used to go out drinking with them and chatting up girls. So to be perfectly honest, I was living a little bit of a double life, and I was a bit of a chameleon. I was sort of swapping personalities depending on who I was hanging out with. Also, I had real image problems. I used to constantly be wanting people to think of me as a cool, sporty guy and get rid of the nerdy geek image I had all the way through school. I know. So my image, well, actually probably more other people's image of me, was more important than telling people that I went to church. Especially not rugby guys or rowing guys who were likely to mock me. For the most part, yeah, like I said, I was a chameleon. I was a good Christian 50% of the time, but you know what? I knew inside that that wasn't enough. So what changed? Well, I was serving on an Alpha course, actually, And there was a sporty young guy that came along on this alpha course, and he gave up his life of girls and drink and followed Jesus with 100% of everything that he had in him. He even told all his friends that he was going to church now and that he was a Christian. And some of them did mock him and give him a hard time. I remember particularly one evening when I had him round for supper. I realized about halfway through the evening that, you know, this guy's showing me up. I'm a half-hearted Christian in comparison. Well, something rose within the depths of my competitive South Africanness, which did not like being shown up by the new boy. God so used this guy to provoke me and shake me out of my lethargic position. And as I opened up those areas of my life, which are like drinking, girls, and image, to God, you know, and let him come into those areas, my life has transformed. I'm now the guy at the front of the church with my arms in the air, worshiping him. I'm much more full of joy. Because I no longer have to worry about my security in my relationship with God. I know he loves me, and I know that his heart is pleased looking down on me. I know I have his acceptance and his affirmation. So what are the rocks in your life? For me, like I said, it was what others thought about me, drinking too much, my relationships with girls. Try fill in the blank. I'd be happy to follow God, except if it meant, or I can word it slightly differently, I'd be happy to follow God, except if it meant giving up blank. God's got a bit of a South African nature. He's not happy with second place. You need to make God number one in your life. And believe me when I say that, although it can be really hard at the time, because it looks like such a sacrifice, you know, it's the best thing that I did, and it'll be the best thing that you did. So is it your dignity that you're afraid to lose? Is it your relationships? Is it your hard-earned possessions? At the end of the talk, I'm going to be giving you a chance to commit or recommit your life to God. Take that chance. The third place the seed falls is into the thorns, which grew up and choked the seed. So that's those who've heard the message of Jesus. The roots have gone down, started to grow, but as soon as it starts to grow, things are coming from the side that keep distracting them from focusing on God. Whether it's because they're too busy or ambition or money, things are competing for your attention and you're not focused on God. A few months ago, at a meeting, a friend of mine told me that he was having a really hard time financially. He runs his own business and had misquoted someone on a really big job, which left him in massive debt. I could see he was really worried about how to provide for his wife and his children and how to hang on to his house. His worry drove him to even think about taking tax shortcuts and made him feel really ashamed, guilty, and alone. He was struggling to trust God to provide for him and trying to fix things in his own strength. Do you feel like you're in a bit of a pit with no way out? You know what? God's calling us to be worshipers of him, and he calls us to do that as our first and most important task. Back to my friend, though. His story has a happy ending, you'll be pleased to know. He shared this problem with another friend who helped him see that he just needed to trust God and needed to ask for forgiveness that he'd done things wrong and that God would provide for him. I bumped into him walking his dog at Priory Marina a few days after, and I could see that he was mega happy. He shared with me then that after he'd put his trust in God, God had provided a tax rebate that had totally staggered his accountant and was enough to clear his debt. Are you guys happy about that? Are we letting our worries or distraction ruin our relationship with God? Do we in our hearts know that we should be putting God as number one? But right now, to be perfectly honest, he isn't. What's it that distracts you? You know, I've wasted so much time watching clips on YouTube or on Facebook, And you know, then I've moaned about the fact that I don't have enough time for God. Is that, what about you? Is that something that you need to sort out? Are you worshiping God with everything that you have? That's your time, finances, your effort? When you do, you'll see that everything else that's distracting you just gets unraveled and moves out the way. Don't wait. Make him the main thing today. Lastly, Jesus said, the seed falls in good soil. So you've taken out those rocks. You've opened up those parts that weren't submitted to him. You've focused on God, not letting the weeds and thorns distract you from the side. When you do that, you will bear fruit. But what is the fruit, you might ask? Well, it says in the Bible, the fruits you bear as a Christian are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Basically, in summary, you become more like Jesus. The seed is perfect. When we remove obstacles to growth, it will grow. And you'll grow in all of these areas. Weren't the testimonies amazing? You can see what happens when the seed falls in good soil. But why, if the seed is perfect, do some people bear more fruit than others? Well, the first thing I want to say there is stop comparing yourself to others. Hang on. Stop comparing yourself to others. Okay. I'm telling myself as well. The only thing that comparing yourself with others is going to leave you is either proud or demotivated. Just be the best you that you can be. But the other thing I want to ask is a provocative question. Are you a fully devoted follower of Jesus with the gifts and abilities that he's given you? Or are you giving him 60% or even 30%? You know what I want? I want to be 100% follower of Jesus. I'm not saying I'm there yet. Every single one of us here is on a journey. There might still be a little bit of weeding and a few pebbles for me to get rid of along the way. I'm sure there will be. I find that marriage is a really effective place to explore my shortcomings. You know, it really protects me from drifting into thinking I'm nearing perfection. That's why I'm pleased that I have such an amazing wife who has so much grace with me. Let's give her a hand. So have you figured out which category you fit in? Are you a path? Is there hardness in your heart to Jesus? Have you drifted away from God due to thorns distracting you? Or are there rocks that are preventing you from putting down roots? Or are you just good soil that's actually not had the message of Jesus clearly explained to you before? Well, you know what? You don't have to stay there. Every single one of us can move on in our relationship with Jesus today. Interestingly, the sower in the story isn't taking pains to only put the seed in the good soil. The seed is getting everywhere in the story. It's my job, as I stand here tonight, my most important job, to make sure that no one is excluding themselves from this message. It's for all of us, yeah. Especially not if you think you're not good enough. That is the point. You aren't good enough, but it's a free gift that Jesus gives us anyway. Perhaps you've heard this message for the first time, an invitation to be in a relationship with the God of the universe who really loves you and has made a way for you to know him. Why not take it? You know, you can have a relationship with Jesus starting today. Or maybe you're related to me. Maybe you'd made a commitment to follow Jesus before. But to tell the truth, your life hasn't always totally reflected that. You know, come back to him today. If you're in either of these groups, I'm going to pray a short prayer. And if you'd like to have your relationship with God restored today, just pray it along in your own hearts. You don't have to pray out loudly. Just pray it along in your own hearts. If everyone could just bow their heads and close their eyes, just out of respect for those. Father God, I'm sorry that my heart has been hard to you and to your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that when I accept you, you accept me and you save me from a pointless, hopeless existence. Please, can I have you as my God and Father and be your son or daughter? I put you as number one in my life.